Acts chapter 16, the verse that we would like to concentrate on this morning as we begin this series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Philippians, is the verse 9, where Paul received the call to go into Macedonia, where of course the great city Philippi was located. Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. In his second letter to the believers at Corinth, Paul wrote about his sufferings for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He then wrote the following words. Beside those things, that is what he had suffered, that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The care of all the churches, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Now when Paul spoke about his care of all the churches, he used a word which means distraction. The word care means distraction. In other words, so great was his care and so heavy was the burden that weighed upon him of all the churches that at times Paul was driven to distraction. Paul led a full life for the Lord, refusing, along with his other duties, refusing to neglect the churches which were under his care. And this care was manifested in a prayerful way. If you were to read through the epistles of Paul, you would discover that in practically every one of them, he informs the believers in each of the churches that he prayed for them, not occasionally, but every day. He mentions that in Romans 1, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, Ephesians 1, verse 16, Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4, Colossians 1 and verse 3, and 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. And this indeed was proof that Paul cared for each of these churches because he prayed for the churches. And these churches had been established by Paul on his missionary journeys. Now chapter 16 that we have read this morning relates to the exploits of the apostle as he began the second of his missionary journeys. A journey which would take him into Europe. And we ought to thank God for the day that he led Paul into Europe to bring the gospel to the people there. A journey which would take him into Europe for the first time, where under God he would see the birth of a church in the city of Philippi. Now before we begin our study in Paul's epistle to the church at Philippi, I felt it would be good for us to consider how this church came into being. It is interesting to see indeed how the Holy Spirit directed the footsteps of the apostle to the chief city, Luke tells us, to the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So let us begin by considering God's ways in the life of Paul. And we notice first of all that God's ways are always right. At times they may not appear to be in our estimation. Sometimes the Lord leads us in the direction that we cannot understand. But God's ways are always right. And that is proven over and over again, and here in the leading of the Lord of his servant Paul and the little band of laborers who were with him. Now it was not the mind of Paul and Silas to go to Philippi. But the Lord dealt with them in such a way that they really couldn't do anything else. You know, often in the Lord working with us and dealing with our hearts, the Lord will bring us to a place where we can do nothing else but do the will of God. Go the direction that the Lord wants us to go. He will often bring us to that place where really we can do nothing else but the will of God. And the Lord revealed his will to the apostle at a time when Paul was busy in his service. As always, Paul was busy for the Lord. Look at chapter 15 of Acts and verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Paul wasn't content with going to these cities and preaching the word to them and establishing churches there. He wanted to go back again and to see how they were doing. That again indicates the care that Paul had for these churches. You go down the chapter to verse 40. And Paul chose Silas because, as you know, a dispute arose between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark with them on their second missionary journey. But John Mark had left the first missionary journey and gone home again. And Paul thought it not good to bring Paul or John Mark with him at this particular time. And so we read in verse 40, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Look at chapter 16 and verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And so there you get the picture of Paul and Silas visiting all these churches, going to each congregation, ministering unto them, or as we read in verse 41, chapter 15, confirming the churches, and the word means strengthening the churches. They were busy strengthening the churches, ministering to the saints. And again, as we have read in Galatia, they visited the churches there. Chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. They were ministering to them and establishing the churches. That word established there is a medical term. It's not surprising, since Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and he used this medical term that he established the churches. The word established means soundness or strong. The word is only found here and two other places. In Acts chapter 3, verses 7 and 16, you recall that in Acts 3 you had Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they saw the man lying at the gate, beautiful, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man was healed. And we read in verse 7 of Acts 3, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That's the same word as established. The man was strengthened physically. And again, when Paul was relating the story later on, he used the same word in verse 16 of Acts 3. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It made him strong. And that's the same word that Paul or Luke used to describe what Paul's ministry meant to the churches that he visited. He made them strong through the ministry of the word. And you know, believer, that is what is needed today in churches. Ministers who will minister the word that strengthens the believers in their faith. Men who will whose ministry will bring healing to sin-sick souls. Sadly today, that is not the case, for there is a type of ministry abroad today that puts believers on guilt trips. You've heard that kind of ministry, I'm sure, that the minister puts forth the word in such a way, and you say you have to do this and you have to do the other, and if you do these things, you'll know the blessing of God, but if you don't do these things, then you're not right with God. And the poor child of God does what he's told to do by the minister, and it doesn't work out the way the minister said it would. And the believer feels a failure. He feels guilty. And how often have believers left the house of God feeling guilty? Not encouraged in the things of the Lord at all. That's not the ministry that Paul had. As Paul went from church to church, he went there confirming the believers, confirming the churches, and establishing the churches, strengthening them, encouraging the believers to go on with God, strengthening them in the faith. Paul was busy in his service for the Lord. But then I notice also Paul had a burden for souls. We see that he most certainly had a burden for the saints. He was ministering unto them. But he had a burden for souls. We read that now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they wanted to take the gospel into Asia. And we read in verses 6 and 7 that they are said to go into Bithynia. They were pioneers. Paul and Silas and Timothy. And Paul wanted to go into Asia with the gospel. He wanted to take the gospel to the people of Bithynia. But we read in verse 6 that he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And we're told in verse 7 that when he said to go into Bithynia, the Spirit of the Lord suffered them not. The plans were thwarted by the Spirit of God. This indicates to me that Paul had a burden for souls. There's no doubt about that. We know that not only in Acts, but in all of his epistles. And Paul wanted to bring the gospel to the people in Asia and the people in Bithynia. But we're told the Spirit of the Lord forbid them to do that. You know, there is an important lesson there for us to learn. It is good that we have a burden for souls. I believe that every Christian ought to have a burden for souls. But then there are some believers who feel guilty if they don't speak to every person they meet, if they don't speak to them about the Lord and give them the gospel, they feel guilty if they don't do that. But who says it's the Lord's will that we speak to everybody? We take the opportunities that the Lord gives us. But who says it's the Lord's will that we speak to everybody? You look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus didn't always speak to everybody he met. You turn with me to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, and we find the Lord at the pool of Bethesda. And we're told in John 5 and verse 3, in these, that is in the five porches around the pool of Bethesda, lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now there's a great multitude of people there. Did the Lord go and speak to everyone in that multitude? No, he didn't. You go down to verse 5. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? So the Lord didn't speak to every person in that multitude. He spoke to one man. And so it is with us, as I say, it's good that we have a burden for souls. We need to have a burden for souls. But we also need to know the leading of the Lord. We need to know the mind of God as to who the Lord wants us to minister to. Here we read in Acts 16 and verse 6, and when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. That's a strong word. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. It wasn't the Lord's time to take the gospel into Asia. That would come later, but it wasn't the Lord's time. And so it is with you and me. We need to know the mind of God. We need to be led by the Spirit. And the Lord will put on our hearts the person he wants us to speak to. The Lord will present us with the opportunities. And we'll have a burden for that individual. That's what the Spirit of the Lord will do. So we need to know the leading of the Lord. Then you'll notice that Paul was bound by the Spirit. He had a burden for souls. But he was also a man who was bound by the Spirit. That is, he was bound to go where the Spirit led him. Again, in verses 6 and 7, they wanted to go into Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy, or into Asia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden. Again, verse 7, they said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. No, don't go there. I forbid you to go into Asia with the gospel. And here we see Paul having his footsteps ordered by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Notice Paul was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. He was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Now, we're not told how the Holy Spirit made his will known to Paul, but he was most certainly aware of it. He could say with Abraham's servant, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Paul was most certainly in the way. But he was being led by the Spirit and told not to go into Asia with the gospel. And how we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's leadings, his leadings and his promptings, and his restraining influences. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. God expects his people indeed to walk in the ways of the Spirit of God. Paul, writing to the church or the believers at Rome, said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God are to be led by the Spirit of God. Our ways, like Paul's, must be hedged in, must be bound by the Holy Spirit. But from these verses we see that not only was Paul sensitive to the Spirit's leadings, Paul was surrendered to the Spirit's leadings. The apostle and the others were going in the direction which the Lord did not want them to go. And when this was revealed to him, we see that Paul did not attempt to go into Asia anyway. Neither did he attempt to go into Bithynia anyway. He was sensitive to the Spirit's leading, and he was surrendered to the Spirit's leading. Evidently, Paul had a desire to go in to Asia. But Paul instead bowed to the leading of the Spirit of God and surrendered himself to where the Spirit wanted him to go. It wasn't Paul's will, but rather the will of the Spirit. Isn't that a Christ-like way to deal with God's work? The Savior said, not my will, but thy will be done. Paul was saying the same thing. It was my will to go into Asia, but it wasn't the will of the Lord at that time. And so Paul didn't attempt to press on anyway. The psalmist has a word for those who would endeavor to press on in spite of the leading of the Spirit of God. You turn to Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, and there we read in verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. The Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will instruct thee and teach thee and guide thee in the way which thou shalt go. Now look at verse 9. After having spoken about knowing the will and the mind of God, the psalmist says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. You've the horse and the mule. What's the characteristic of the horse? Why, the horse will just race on. Needs to have a bit and bridle in its mouth to control it, to give it direction. What's the characteristic of the mule? Well, the mule's stubborn, digs its heels in. It'll not go where the master wants it to go. The psalmist says, be ye not as the horse. Don't go running on. Don't run ahead of the Lord. And don't be like the mule. Don't be stubborn. If the Lord tells you to do something or go somewhere, don't be like the mule. And if the Lord tells you not to go, don't be like the horse and race on, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. And has Solomon not told us, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. And when we know the way that he wants us to go, we need to be then surrendered to his will. We must allow our ways to be bound up in the Spirit's ways. So Paul told the believer, the elders at Ephesus, after he'd ministered to them for 3 years, he was leaving them and he was going to Jerusalem. And he said in Acts 20, and there in verse 22, he says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. In other words, Paul was saying, I can do nothing else. I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And that's where I'll be going. The word bound there means to be joined to. It has reference to a wife, as she said, to be bound to her husband, Romans 7 and verse 2. Paul was bound by the Spirit. He was bound to him and his will. He could do nothing else but go the way of the Lord. God's ways are always right. Next we see that God's will is now revealed. God now reveals his will to Paul. The Lord had shown Paul where he didn't want him to go. Now he shows him where he does want him to go. And he and the others continued their journey west. Paul received this vision there in verse 8. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now he knows. Now he knows where he's to take the gospel. Regarding the revealing of the Lord's will to Paul, And the appearance of this vision, notice the period. When did it take place? We're told in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Sometimes the Lord's ways are hard to accept and understand. Especially when the Lord says no. When the Lord shuts the door and shuts it fast. Sometimes that's hard to understand and, as I say, hard to accept. So it must have been very disappointing for the apostle, who had this desire to go into Asia with the gospel, who had a burden in his heart for souls there, only to be told, Paul, you're not to go there. The same with Bithynia. Paul, I'm sure, would have been disappointed. And for him and the others, things may have looked rather dark. But then, in the darkness, not only the darkness of the night, but the darkness in Paul's heart, the darkness of disappointment, we read, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Just then, when Paul, and no doubt, was down, it was then the Lord came with a word to the apostle, telling him where he wanted him to go. How often has the Lord done that very thing? When all seems dark, and we're in the slough of despond, it's just then that the Lord appears in the darkness, and he has a word in season for us. If you go on over in Acts, to Acts chapter 27, we find in Acts 27, Paul is a prisoner in the midst of a great storm with all the other prisoners on board a ship. And we read in Acts 27 and verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Things looked pretty bleak. And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Verse 22, And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Came at the right time. When no light, no appeared for days, and all hope of them ever been rescued or saved was taken away. It was dark and beaten. It was then that the Lord appeared unto Paul. It was then that he appeared unto Paul again in the night, when Paul was disappointed. And for Paul and his companions, as they journeyed westward, the Lord had shut doors, but now he's opening the door. He's opening the door that he wanted Paul to go through. Shut the door in Asia and Bithynia. Now he opens the door in Macedonia. And Paul could have said, as he said to the church at Corinth, a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. In spite of the adversaries, the Lord still is able to open the door. Doesn't make any difference. If it's the will of God to open the door, doesn't matter how many adversaries there are, he'll open it anyway. And the door that God opens, no man can shut it. That was the period it happened at night, and then you have the person. We're not given the identity of the person that Paul saw in the vision. There appeared to Paul in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him. There stood a man. The Lord gave him a vision of this man. Now this man obviously would have been a representative of all the people in Macedonia. Therefore Paul was being directed to a people who needed to have the word of God preached to them. And this appearance of the man would have reminded Paul that the door the Lord had opened in Macedonia, he had opened it for the purpose of Paul and the others going and preaching the gospel to people. He was going to minister to people. He was going to minister to men and women who were perishing in their sin. He was going there to minister to people. And you know, dear child of God, that's something that we should also get a hold of in this life as we pass through it. We ought to be ministering to people. There are people all around us who are perishing in their sins. We need to be interested in people. It reminds me the young man who applied to our presbytery and felt, he said, the call of God to go to a certain country to preach the gospel there to the people there. And during the interview, he spoke about how he felt about going to a particular country. Turned out to be a warm country, a country of a warm climate. And in the course of the interview, he repeated over and over again how he felt going to that particular country would be good for his wife, because she had some medical, physical problem, and the warm weather would do her good. Now this came up a number of times in the interview, and it seemed almost as if he wanted to go to that country for the benefit of his wife. And really talking about the people, well, he didn't say a great deal about them. He wasn't accepted. He wasn't really burdened, it appeared anyway, for the people. He wanted to go there just really for the warm weather. We need to be interested in people. Paul was reminded, you're going to Philippi because there are people there, souls there, that need the gospel. And then you have the prayer. The prayer which came from this man's lips was, come over in the Macedonia and help us. Help. It was a cry for help. The word help means to succor. Come to our aid. Now how did Paul understand this cry for help? Look at verse 10 of Acts 16. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. That's how he understood the cry for help. The man wanted to hear the gospel. That was the help they wanted. The help that the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to give. That's what the people of Macedonia needed. Dear Christian, today that's what the people of this country needs. That's the help they need. They need the help of the gospel. If more people in this country sought the help of the gospel, we would have a different country. So many today, so many men and women are seeking help. They're seeking help for their addictions and not help can be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the Christ of the gospel will deliver them from whatever addiction they have. That's the help they should be seeking. There are many today seeking help in their trials and tribulations. Oh, that only seek the help that the gospel can give. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ would help them in their trials and tribulations. Many seek help in the time of loss and loneliness. Oh, why don't they seek the help of the gospel of Jesus Christ? For it's the gospel of Christ, the sympathizing Jesus. That's how Paul understood the cry for help. We're going to preach the gospel to them. And then finally you see that the workers were ready. It is one thing to know God's will. It's quite another thing to do His will. And here we see that this little company of missionaries waited at Troas. And they were ready now to go into Macedonia. Therefore, verse 11, loosing from Troas, he came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and then into Macedonia and Philippi. They were ready to go. First of all, notice that Paul had an associate who joined him and went with him to Macedonia. If you look carefully there, you will see that up until verse 10, when speaking about Paul and Silas and Timothy, Luke spoke about them as they. They went here or they went there. Now look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Pronoun is changed from they to we. In other words, Luke joined the party. Now it's Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. We endeavored then to go into Macedonia. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came. And again in verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and so forth. Here's Paul's associate now. Luke joins the party. Luke becomes a missionary along with the others. You see that Luke was prepared for the work. You see, Paul had lost a worker in John Mark. John Mark had returned to Jerusalem after the first missionary, or in the midst of the first missionary journey. You know that from Acts 15, verses 37 and 38. So there was a gap there. A worker was missing. It's always disappointing when someone goes back and leaves the work. But we find that Luke was a man who was prepared to stand in the gap. He was prepared for the work. And he was a pioneer in the work. They were going into Europe for the first time. This was a pioneer work. Special kind of people are involved in pioneer works. Because not everybody likes pioneer works. Being involved in a pioneer work is hard. It is difficult. Can at times be very disappointing. Spoken to some ministers who are presently involved in pioneer works. And they said they would find it very difficult to go and start another pioneer work or be involved in another pioneer work. We have had folk come to this church, pay us visits. And they've indicated to us that they prefer being in a large established church. They don't like the small work. We need that pioneer spirit to break new ground and to see a work established for the Lord. You're Paul's associate, you're Paul's assurance. And there we see that in verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them, assuredly. The word assuredly means to put firmly together or knit together. The Holy Spirit had forbidden him to preach the word in Asia and in Bithynia. The night vision came and the call came, come over into Macedonia and help us. And when Paul considered all these things, it all fitted together. Assuredly gathering. He gathered all the facts, all the circumstances, and everything just knitted together. And he could see now the direction the Lord was leading him. Sometimes when the Lord speaks to us and leads us in a certain way, we can't understand it. But just give the Lord time. As the Lord says to his disciples, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Paul didn't know what was happening when the doors in Asia and Bithynia were shut. But he could understand it now. It all fitted into place. And then your Paul's action. Once he was assured of what God's will was, we are told they immediately endeavored to go. It's time to go. Time to leave Troas. Time to go over into Macedonia. You'll see in the little map there, just exactly where Paul was in Troas and its relation to Macedonia. The leading of the Lord is a wonderful thing. And Paul knew the leading of the Lord. And it was good that Paul obeyed the leading of the Lord. And didn't behave like the horse or the mule, but was sensitive. And allowed the Lord to lead him. And Silas and Timothy and Luke. And they went into Europe for the first time with the gospel. And we praise God for that day. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts this morning. And encourage us in the days that come as we seek to consider Paul's letter to that church in Philippi. Let's bow our heads together now in prayer.